And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a new hamper, coat and green. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
two front teeth
and a new.
Welcome back after the break, Cowboys fans. We're here to break down this one. It's the Cowboys lose to the Dolphins. We've got John and Saad from The Athletic, as always, and back to lead this one. It's Kevin, KT Fun, Holidays, Turner. Welcome, KT.
Welcome and happy holidays, gang. Let's dive right in. Cowboys-Dolphins, 22-20. Dolphins win. We are, full disclosure, recording this on Tuesday evening. We just like to let you know ahead of the Week 17 game between Cowboys and Lions. Man, a lot of different things you can dissect from this. And the way I want to set this up first is go 2021, number one thing you're upset about, or the team was upset about, or fans were upset about after that game, penalties. 2022, I think we walk away upset with that game. I think you're upset at the offense a little bit, and maybe the front office maybe not doing enough. But, like, I don't know, frustration felt like it came from a lot of different places. Tony Pollard gets hurt, close game. But still felt like it was kind of aimed at the offense. And then I guess my question for you guys to start it off, where is your frustration? Where's their frustration? And where's the fans' frustration after that game on Sunday?
I think everyone starts with the frustration of not being able to beat a good team on the road. I think that's where it starts at. And then it branches off to whatever the next most important thing is. Probably for most, it'll go towards the penalties. And when you get into that penalties branch of the tree, then that branches off into, well, is it because your team is a little undisciplined? Or is it because all the reps, they're out to get you every single game. They're out. We're playing three opponents on the road, the crowd, the team, and then the refs. And so I don't like the refs excuse stuff, and I haven't liked it for the last 3 years. You know, with that being said, it's pretty ridiculous that Micah Parsons hasn't drawn in a single holding call, and we're going over 2 months now. He's too good of a player, and I'm at the point now where, like, I don't even think that this is just making stuff up. I would think that opposing teams, offensive line coaches, and offensive coordinators or whatever are probably just saying, don't get beat by him. He's a freak. But if you are getting beat by him, just grab him a little bit. They're not calling it. We got months of tape that shows if you just go ahead and grab him a little bit towards the end, they're not going to call it. So, hey, going to save a sack. And if, you know, maybe it gets called once, it's not like they're going to call it 3-4 times in a game, you know? So that part, I can see how that's very frustrating for the team and the fans, but I just don't like when the team talks about it after the game, because it just seems like you're almost like kind of using like a woe is me attitude when it's a game that everything is so close that it's just like, I feel like you got to fight through it, and that, you know, you know, maybe you'll get helped out a little bit too. Because I look at like that game, like I didn't look at it as being really egregious ref wise just towards the Cowboys. I thought that there were, you know, there were plays that helped the Cowboys too, you know, so refs aren't great. Like I'll be the first to admit that, but I don't think that I didn't watch that game going, man, the refs just really screwed the Cowboys. They did everything to win this game and the refs just stole it from him. Like, nah, I don't look at it that way.
Gave him a huge call at the end.
Yeah.
PI at the end. So,
and also, like, you know, look, whenever you're listening to this, like I wrote like five things that the Cowboys need to show before the playoffs began, and penalties were one of those five things that I kind of like detailed. And And just to give a, you know, part of what I like found during my research or whatever is kind of going along with what John said. Like, first, like, you know, Micah Parsons was heated about after the Dolphins game about the roughing the passer penalty, right? And DeMarcus Lawrence was not happy about the one on, against Josh Allen in Buffalo. Those two are the only two roughing the passer penalties the Cowboys have this season. That's not, it's not a pattern of, you know, just the refs just screwing you on roughing the passer penalties and things like that. That's not what's happening. Now, what is unacceptable for them? The Cowboys lead the league in defensive offsides with 15 defensive offsides. That's almost double the third place team, which is the 49ers. They have 8. Okay. And so then I went back and looked at McCarthy's whole tenure, going back to 2020. The Cowboys are one penalty shy of leading the entire NFL. The Arizona Cardinals over the last 4 years have one more penalty than the Dallas Cowboys since 2020. The Dallas Cowboys have something like 37 or 39 defensive offsides penalties in that span. No team, no, I think one other team has more than 30. No other team has more than 30. So the point is, they're top two in, or they're number one in defensive offsides this year and over the last 4 years. They're top 10 in false starts over the last 4 years. These are not the refs screwing you. This is undisciplined football. So you can talk about the defensive pass interferences, the roughing the passers. Those things are not patterns of, you know, patterns of things that are messing with the Cowboys. It's the lack of discipline. And when I dug a little bit deeper, what's even more fascinating to me is the 12 seasons that McCarthy had in Green Bay, the 12 full-time seasons, not counting the season that he got canned. The Packers were pretty good. Like, they were middle of the pack in penalties. Like, they were the 20th most penalized team in those 12 years, 18th most in defensive offsides. This was not an issue for McCarthy in Green Bay. So for me, this is a little bit on everybody. I mean, McCarthy does preach the penalty thing a lot publicly, which I think his team feeds off of. But for 12 years, this was not an issue in Green Bay. And ever since he's been in Dallas, this has been unquestionably an issue.
Well, and also let's do a couple things here. Penalties committed by the opponent. The Cowboys are 11th in the league there. Okay. When they play, their opponents are in the top half of the league getting penalized. Okay. Number of yards by the opponent. Their opponent, top five. The Cowboys' opponents are top five most penalized team. So it's not the refs out to screw you. That data, like, plays out there. They're calling flags on the other teams too, right? I don't love, you know, the Micah thing, and kind of you love Micah talking and just being real and being Micah. But when it goes to that, I'm like, that's 2 years ago all over again when you lost to the 49ers. I watched that game, and I did not have that feeling that maybe a lot of people have, and it's that utter doom. And we can't win on the road. Is, you know, yeah, I mean, it's real. You're 3-5, and that's a December game. But I went, man, you tell me that you gave up, honestly, let's just round it, 20 points to the Dolphins as that field goal was kicked, you know, in the closing seconds. I go, man, I feel like I had a pretty good chance to win that game. And there's a lot of things that happened. I was missing Tyron, and we know how big of a, you know, a thing that's been over the years. We know how big of a story that's been. I look at all the things that put together, man, you gave yourself a pretty good chance to win that game. You couldn't close it. I thought the quarterback played better than his numbers are going to show, because, my God, he should have been sacked 10 times, and he avoided a bunch of those by just being smart with the ball, getting rid of it, made a completion on that final drive that played a gallop, add that to the Dak highlight book forever for a 7-yard gain. Again, not sexy in the stat sheet, but how he completed that pass. Yeah, and it was tight there on the once you got inside the 10-yard line and you got down to the 1-yard line, it get bailed out by a defensive holding penalty and then play action on first down and get sacked and you start all over again. But Dak finds a way, gets it to Brandon Cooks. This team's got a little more they can lean on than just CeeDee Lamb. And then you couldn't hold them because the very first play on that drive that Miami gets the ball back, we have a face mask, you know, 15 yards, Damone Clark. And there's a big play, you know, later that thing where Damone Clark is held and taken to the ground by the Dolphins, and the refs did miss that. So, yeah, it hurts, like, when you really go microscopic. But when you broaden out, you see this team is not being screwed by the refs. I think that's not anything that, you know, this show has fought about. The Micah thing, obviously, yeah. But this show is, like, we're kind of, like, trying to be realistic about all of that stuff. A lot of teams get screwed by the refs. A lot of teams benefit from the refs. The Cowboys are a top five team benefiting from the refs when it comes to yardage by your opponents. So, I mean, I try to look at it that way, too.
By the way, real quick on that, too. Like, first of all, I totally agree with the Micah thing. It's obvious that he's getting held and they're not being called. The Damone Clark play on third down or second down, I think, also obvious. But every team's fan base is doing this. Like, the Browns fans feel the same way about Myles Garrett. Steelers fans feel the same way about TJ Watt. And like, this is the thing. And here's the other thing. It's the Dallas Cowboys. You think if any team is getting rigged for, like, in favor or against the NFL, every single time the Cowboys play a game, its ratings were the highest since, like, you know, friggin' George Washington was president or like some crazy stat like that. And it's just like, you think that the NFL doesn't want the Cowboys to succeed? Like, the Cowboys succeeding is good for the league. They're not against you. Now, the refs are incompetent to certain extent. That's true. And that's true, again, on an even playing field. But as I just said, there's a lot of penalties that are being called. Like, you're not even jumping offsides on defense. You're lining up offsides on defense. Like, that stuff can't be happening. And so for me, there's a balance of, yes, Micah is not getting the holding calls, as neither is Myles Garrett, neither is TJ Watt. Now, are they getting called more than Micah? Perhaps, but each fan base feels like their guy is getting screwed. And this goes true for every single play. Like, you can, the old saying goes, there's a holding going on in every single play in the trenches. I mean, if you look, there's a holding somewhere happening. So yeah, to your point, KT, like, I don't think the Cowboys are getting screwed on their own. I think if they are getting screwed, it's just because the refs kind of suck sometimes.
Well, and I also think that I don't even know if I would say it's that they suck as much as it's just a really difficult job to do. And we have more intel now than we've ever had before with camera angles and replays and stuff like that, that are even better vantage points than they have. So what's the answer to that? Maybe it's more, see how I asked myself my own question there, Sid, very Brian Schottenheimer.
Why?
I love when Brian Schottenheimer does this anyway. But the reason why that they maybe need to is maybe you need more refs, but I can also see where teams would be like, well, no, we don't want more officiating. You know, we don't want this game to be over officiated because then it slows everything down and the game's 4 hours long and then they don't want that either. So that's why they don't replay every single play either. A lot of people would sit there and watch this or watch the NFL that maybe don't even care about the NFL and go, well, okay, just make every play replay. You know, you can just go back and everything can be challenged and everybody goes back and looks. Yeah, the games will be 5-6 hours long and then that affects the rhythm of a game. So that's awful too. One thing I will say about the penalties though, when Sid brought up the Green Bay with Mike McCarthy, it is also important to note that when Dan Quinn was in Seattle, both years he was their DC, 13 and 14, the Seattle Seahawks led the NFL in penalties. That's also the 2013 and 2014 Seahawks, both won the Super Bowl, 2013 won it. So those are the teams that you look to for Cowboys fans who are like, well, can you lead the league in penalties and still have a very successful season? Obviously, those Seahawks teams showed you that you could. It's unlikely, though. Usually those penalties are going to add up in a big game and it's going to cost you. But there is examples of teams that have led the league in penalties and had the ultimate success.
You know, I don't know anything about the offense of those teams from a stats standpoint there, but those Seattle defenses from that time, almost like a pride point to get flagged here and there, because they would just go. I never talked about the Seattle cover three. Well, part of what they did too is they would just grab the crap out of you, and then the refs are like, "Hey, well, we can't call it every single play."
Right.
I mean, it's something that really helped Richard Sherman. I think he's talked about this
and Brandon Browner.
Yeah, like, I'm going to just grab you, and then you know, we get called for a couple times early, great, you know, but we're not just going to stop doing it. It's like, I was like, it's weird. I'm going to take it to the Mavs for a second. I feel like refs are fed up with Luka right now, and you're seeing a lot of first quarter Luka technicals. And I think they're like, calling it like, well, you can't yell at us all game because once you get two, you're gone.
Yeah, like, Luka's on another level. Luka's on a level where it almost makes it like tough to watch, where you're just like, geez, we're every single play, man. It's the first quarter of a middle of the season NBA game. My God.
And then you're
what are we doing here? You're acting like it's game seven or it's any meaningful playoff game. Like, I've seen a little crossover, not much, but let's just hold on any comparisons between Micah complaining and Luka. Oh, Luka is on a way, way different level.
Well, no, I think it's like the way the refs are handling that, though. It's like, they're also like, Luka, shut up. Here's your technical in the first quarter. Now we got you. It's only get a speeding ticket. You know, I can't speed anymore. I just got a ticket. But it's very interesting. You know what's tougher to watch than Luka complaining is the Mavericks without Luka. As we move on, go ahead, Ken. I saw you wanted to pop in for a second.
I said, I hate this Luka slander. That's all I was going to say.
Oh, Luka's
This is a Luka positive podcast.
Was anything? Go ahead and fact check. Is anything we said incorrect?
No.
All right. Okay.
Hey, I actually think it's a really good comparison. Luka just dropped 50 on Christmas. Like this, he's an incredible player. Micah Parsons is an incredible football player. And I think, you know, again, I agree with John. I don't think Micah's complaining has gotten to that point yet.
Micah has to be mid play, turning and yelling at the ref to get on a Luka level.
Yeah, for sure.
It has to infect mid play. And then I'll start listening to conversations about that. He has to literally be rushing the passer, turning, yelling to an official, then turning back around and rushing the passer, and then we'll start talking about that.
Because Micah's complaints are mostly post game and on his podcast or with the media.
Right.
Him complaining about the roughing the passer was actually like something new. Like, he doesn't usually complain too much on the field either. Yeah. So I will say that, but. But yeah, I you know, it's not that crazy, but I understand his frustrations.
That's the most fired up I've seen him after a missed call or a call. Either way, that's the most fired up I've seen him. Most pissed off.
And that's the most maddening one, I think, right now. I mean, I think the 50-yard pass interference is maddening. The roughing the passer situation is bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bad one called against Dak. Yeah. Let's be honest, that one that the Dolphins got called on, Wilkins got called on. I mean, that's, again, both of those are just product of where the NFL is going, where they don't want their quarterback, any type of physical hit that looks like it's jarring to the quarterback. It's you just almost assume it's just going to be flagged. And yeah, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't want it to be that way, but you can just tell that it's pretty much like that across the board.
I could actually handle it from my players a little bit. Not after a playoff loss.
Yeah,
when you get flagged 10 times. I mean, the San Francisco game was the San Francisco playoff loss in 2021 was the most like icky feeling in this franchise, the Dallas Cowboys, with all of the stuff that they've been associated with, good and bad. That's the most icky feeling I've ever felt, like after a Cowboy game like that. Just like, ugh, when McCarthy and Dak go do it. But he's out of character for Dak. And to see a head coach do it, it just wasn't cool. But, you know, that's beside the point. You go back and I sit there and go, okay, well, you got the San Francisco team that we know you might be crash coursing against in the playoffs, very possibly. You know, it is the monkey on your shoulder, you know, that you're just trying to get. But you can't look that far ahead. You get back to these last two games, and what happened there, I think, was more about just like, saying, hey, look, we can run on the road against a very good team, a Super Bowl contender. And they could have. They could have won that game if you just move a couple things. And there's a big portion of the fan base who's not going to want to hear excuses, which I'm probably laying out right there, because if you're awesome, you win the game and we stop having these discussions. Pretty happy with how the defense played. Thought the offense, given the fact that the offensive line was tarnished a little bit, it's okay. I mean, it was okay, you know, in certain situations. You need to be better. I think we all know that. I just – that game, to me, having a chance to win it 2 minutes left, maybe I would have tried to play the last 2 minutes a little differently there, but you know, that's easy to say after it's over.
How so? How, what would you have done?
Well, there's a play, there's a point where you get to, and it's, it was the third and three. It was third and three. I think it was about the Cowboys' 33 yard line. I actually typed this up. Hold on 1 second, because I thought we might go here today.
Yeah. There I have thoughts okay. on this.
Yeah. Quick hitter to Tyreek Hill. And he kind of gets through the 25, and the Dolphins call a play, you know, with a pass it, passing it to him behind the line of scrimmage. He skirts ahead to the 25. Cowboys take their first timeout. All good. You have the Jeff Wilson 8 yard carry, and that's the play where it looked like Damone Clark was held. And that's a play where it looked like there was room. And then by then, after he gets 8 yards, you know, we're talking about he's at the 17 yard line. And I kind of have a line in my head that is right around where the Cowboys were at the 25-yard line. I kind of have a line in my head where I have to start thinking I'm going to let you score.
But yeah, the tough part about that, though, is that I think that it's a pretty knowledgeable game towards that nowadays, because we've seen it so many times, is then that player goes down in the one, and then they just start kneeling. And then so they're just kneeling and kneeling and kneeling, and then it ends up the same. I mean, yes, you have to have – you have to hope that one of the players gets the ball and doesn't know any better and is like, hey, I just scored a touchdown. This is so cool. I'm going to keep this. Oh, now we got to give them the ball back. Yeah, maybe this wasn't the best idea, you know? So you're putting a little bit into their hands, too, that they're going to mess it up and score, you know?
Completely agree. The only thing I would say on that is that the way Jeff Wilson had hit the corner on that stretch run, it definitely seemed like he was a guy dead-eyed for the end zone, but look, he's at the 17-yard line, and who knows, it takes a second. So there's nothing you can do. But if you were in bad shape, you were going to give up points, and you kind of knew it after the third and three.
I thought what you were going to say is about how the Cowboys handled their go-ahead touchdown drive. Like, they should have used more clock. I thought that's what you were going to say, and I had a lot of – and the only thing I was going to say about that is that watching that game, I felt like with the issues up front – particularly on that left edge of the offensive line, that out of every four plays you ran, you had to almost go in going, two of these are going to be totally effed. Just get ready, survive in advance, okay? Just right off. It doesn't matter how perfect we draw it up. Two of these are going to be completely effed. Throw those away. On the two that we're going to get a chance, you got to hit. You absolutely have to hit, you know? And they did on those. When Dak got sacked on that first and goal from the half yard line, that had all the makings of they're not even going to score here. Like this, that just totally ruined this entire possession. And so for him to be able to fight through that, throw a good ball with pressure in his face, two cooks over the top of Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that's not a lot of quarterbacks making that play in this league. Not a lot.
No. And for me, it's not so much the end or anything about the Cowboys offense. I thought that drive we were talking about, honestly, I think that had the potential to be a top five drive in Dak's career. Top three, maybe. I mean, that was an incredible 17-play drive, I want to say. I mean, that was ridiculous. For me, it's more about the middle two quarters. C.D. Lamb had all the touches on the first two drives. He had touches on the last two drives. Cowboys scored on every single drive. In the middle, he just was not he was not looked at. They didn't try to get him the ball, whatever. You have to manufacture and I understand, you know, Dak's answer after the game was, well, they're not gonna let him have a career day. Never stops Kyle Shanahan from getting Deebo Samuel involved. I mean, you have to find a way to get your best playmaker. He's the guy that your entire offense has to run through. If he fades away for a drive or two while you're figuring things out on the sideline, I get it. He cannot fade out of the offense for two quarters. It just can't happen.
Yeah, you know what? That game, to me, is probably going to be the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback for an entire – he's really all game long, but the entire second half just playing with his Cowboys pants on fire. I mean, he was just – and just, okay, we'll get through it here and we'll avoid a sack here and we'll get rid of the ball and I will somehow continue to avoid sack after sack after sack. And it's not even like – I don't know that I think Edoga sucked. I just think when it did happen,
It was real bad.
It was very clear when it happened, but it wasn't always him either. I mean, there's a couple. Dude, there's one boy, Hunter Lipke, had a whiff of the year back at the end, and that fumble, man, that maybe talk about difference in the game. How about that 1 yard line, you know, and a fumble right there. I mean, that, those are the things that I think they're bigger.
The block whiff was really bad.
The block whiff was so bad, and it was just kind of nonstop, and somehow Dak could get outside of the tackle box here and there and get the ball back to the line of scrimmage and in the area of a target here and there. And somehow he didn't have 10 sacks. It was really remarkable.
The wild part to me was kind of like the, what was that game? I think it was Seattle, where it's like, we're gonna do a good job shutting down Mike all game. Except for on the last play, the one that matters the most, we're not going to block him at all. And I just felt like, you know, that was such a laughable thing from a Cowboys perspective.
Yeah.
And then you go into this game and just like, so if you want to accidentally double somebody, accidentally double Bradley Chubb. Don't leave him. Don't let him be the guy. Yeah, that's the one where you're just like, do we not go over who are like, can we give a ranking system of like, let's ultimately not let these three guys be the ones that decide this thing. Let's at least, if we're going to mess up, let's mess up by over pursuing to that player, not over pursuing to a linebacker that you're not that worried about on a blitz. That those are tough ones to get past.
Where would David Long Jr. fall on that list for you?
Man, so it would fall on the level of a team doubling and maybe even throwing a third guy at Damone Clark and allowing DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons both to run free towards the quarterback. And be like, no, we stopped DeMone.
I mean,
okay. I appreciate that. But guys, we can't let this guy over here, this 11, this can never happen. If you are guessing on anything, guess towards him. You know, that just, to me, like, it just seems real basic.
We're very lucky they didn't have Jalen Phillips too.
Yeah.
Because it could have gotten ugly. Okay, so here we are. Buffalo, terrible loss. Miami, a loss. I don't feel terrible about that loss.
Very, very much like the Philadelphia loss. I agree.
Right.
Yep.
To the point where, like, Schoonmaker at the 1 yard line, you're like, oh, you're that close. And then Tony Pollard at the 1 yard line, you're like, oh, you were that close. I mean, there's a lot of parallels with that Philadelphia game.
And look at what they did after that. Went on a winning streak.
Hey, if you're going to get hot. So what do we say? We still top three team in the NFC? Is everyone on board with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, actually, okay. So here's my thing. We'll get into this later. But so right now, I think you can make an argument for Philadelphia and Detroit both being in front of Dallas. But I think after you see the way Dallas plays against Detroit on Saturday, you'll have Dallas in top three for sure.
And I already have Dallas in front of Philadelphia. So, I mean, to me, it's San Francisco, Detroit, and Dallas. But
Do you guys have Philadelphia on a level where you wouldn't be surprised if they lost one of these final two games? Because I'm starting to get in that territory.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, that game yesterday was in Philadelphia, and it was a two-point game in, like, the third or fourth quarter. I mean, that's – yeah, it would not surprise me if they dropped one of these last two. I'm not a believer in Philadelphia. Like I said, I think they're the fourth best team in the NFC right now. After San Francisco, to me, Detroit and Dallas is a coin toss right now, and then Philadelphia.
There's just such a wide gap between these teams we're talking about and then these other teams who are going to make the playoffs. Seattle, a team who we mentioned a bunch in this podcast already, the NFC South winner, no matter who that is. And then to your weird boat of Minnesota's or Green Bay.
I would put Sod's NFC West pick ahead of both of those, to be honest with you. And that's just because of the Stafford factor where, you know, Minnesota's without their quarterback. And
not scaring anybody.
He's not scaring anybody. And then who was the other team you said?
Well, I threw Green Bay in there.
Green Bay again. Yeah, way more worried about Matthew Stafford having a big game than I would be on Jordan Love and the Packers.
I said Rams, I think, have the Giants this week on the road. Cowboys are going to play this one on Saturday night like they need it. They're going to go play to win. There's no resting. That conversation maybe will come up next week. But until, you know, we get mathematically set, we kind of know how Mike McCarthy rolls with this too. But, you know, we're going to be the five seed. We're going to be on the road. We've been saying this for months. We all know this here. But they're going to play this thing on Saturday night, and I do think it would be good for the Cowboys to get a win. I think to start a little something here. And Detroit has, you know, clinched their spot, but, you know, you could be kind of lobbying for seeding and things like that. Hypothetically, not really, but Detroit's going to be trying to play in this game to win as well. So I'm glad we still have a fun one on Saturday night with two teams, even though they don't have a ton to play for from a gaining in the playoff standpoint. But, like, we're not mailing it in just yet. It does feel like Week 18 is going to be for a lot of the – well, for some of the league is going to be that way. I mean, I don't know how the Cowboys will play it. But, I mean, we know. I mean, it's weird. You look at all these games, and I'm like, I kind of got to have my eyes on the Buccaneers and Saints this week because that's going to be your – you know, your two teams are like kind of might kind of tell you where you're playing in the playoffs. So it's an odd feeling to have, but that's where we're at. I mean, that's how they're going to approach this, right?
I think so. But also, like, I don't, you know, I like John mentioned, like, I'm really not ruling out the Cowboys getting the two seed. What I saw from Philadelphia yesterday just does not give me a whole lot of confidence that they don't lay an egg against Arizona out of nowhere, or definitely against New York in New York. And so for me, I think you really have to play this, not with like the fact that you don't have a ton to play for, because if you get the two seed, I mean, San Francisco, they're the class of the NFC. There is no denying that, but this Trent Williams situation can get really interesting, because without Trent Williams, I mean, that's a different team. And we saw that yesterday, but we also saw that in the middle of the season when Trent Williams missed a couple of games and they lost both. So, you know, the same way that we're talking about Tyron Smith and the effect that that had on the Cowboys, Trent Williams is even more important to the 49ers than Tyron Smith is to the Cowboys. I believe that. So, you know, I'm not going to completely just, you know, rule anything out. You got to play like you're going to get the two seed. What happens in the playoffs after that?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army Knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Getting Tyron Wright is going to be interesting. I mean, we're not expecting him to play Saturday night, are we?
I am, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You are? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so if he plays Saturday night, I don't know how I would approach it. I'd be honest, like, I would probably lean towards playing it safe, but they need to get the win. I mean,
he was only walking around in the locker room today, but I felt like the way I saw him walking around in the locker room today was looked much improved than the way he was walking around last week. So,
okay. Yeah.
Jerry said on the radio this morning they gave him a shot or an injection. I'm pretty sure that's probably like a cortisone shot type thing to kind of loosen up. This was last week. So, yeah, I think he's going to play. He didn't practice today, but today was like a walkthrough type thing. So the two big question marks would be Tyron and Jonathan Hankins as we sit here, as we record the podcast. And I think that Tyron's more likely to play than Hankins, but there's a chance that both of them could play.
You know, we know Gilmore came back in the game.
Yeah, he's good to go.
He good? No yeah. worries? All right. Mm,
no.
But the fact that we're still doing the relying on Tyron thing, which, look, it's a testament to him, honestly, more than it is a critique.
Well, they knew where they were at. I mean, they knew, but that's part of this is why I like covering the Cowboys is that they put so much information out there that you can fill in a lot of gaps more so with them than you can with a lot of other teams. And you know, if we didn't know what I'm about to say, we could think differently about the topic I'm about to get into. But we know that Will McClay sat there and Jerry turned to him and asked him, we go Mazi or Matthew Bergeron. If we don't know that, if we don't see that video of how it was seriously being talked about, heck, for most teams, Bergeron's name never even comes out. You never even hear about it. But because, and then they go on and they take Mazi and they take Schoonmaker, and you wouldn't sit there and necessarily think that they thought offensive. They obviously did think offensive line was that much of a need. They seriously talked about it in round one. So actions speak louder than words. Their actions said that they knew that this was a situation. It wasn't just us talking heads out here saying, man, I don't know about that offensive line depth. They clearly knew it too. And I think if you, let's say they went in the Bergeron direction, you know, I think that you would have seen, let's say, like this past week, maybe Bergeron's the guy that he plays left guard. Tyler Smith goes up to left tackle for the game, you know? And maybe that looks good, you know? But that's why I also think I'm bringing this up, because I think that same conversation will be had in April when they're on the clock in the first round as well. They have to consider offensive linemen.
To me, and I don't want to completely get off on this tangent, but to me, like, this was something that, you know, going into this game too, I didn't really understand, like, if you're going to play Chuma, I mean, you did the first two games without Tyler Smith with Tyron playing left tackle and Chuma playing at guard. And he looked decent at guard. Like, left tackle was just too premium of a position, in my opinion, to where I still would have tried Tyler Smith at left tackle and Chuma at guard. I understand that's not a slam dunk decision or anything. I don't think McCarthy's an idiot for not doing that. But I think I would have given that a lot more consideration, given that Chuma did do that in the first two games when Tyler Smith wasn't playing.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really good point. And my thoughts on all of that is that how many times has Mike McCarthy in the last week or two talked about these games being like playoff games without the playoff consequences? And I'll say this. I know these games are really important. You're not just going to throw something out there or whatever. But I bet you if this is a playoff game, I bet you that's what would have happened. I bet you Tyler Smith would have went out to left tackle and Chuma, but then it's like they probably look at Tyron's back and they're like, this isn't something that's going to keep him out for multiple weeks. Let's not go ahead and just start moving pieces around. But like, I'm even someone that's like, man, you talk, it's playoffs, first round, whatever, second round, and Terrence Steele goes down. I look across the board and I'm like, the best offensive lineman or the one that you feel the most confident with that's not starting is probably Bass. I'm putting Bass in at right guard, and I'm moving Zach Martin out to right tackle. Of course, that like Zach doesn't really want to do that. It's not happening in season. But I'm saying if this is a playoff game, like win or go home, Those are the type of things that you've got to do because that is your best offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's where you, like, you clearly go back to that's your probably your first draft need. Once again,
No question. By far, it is for me.
Which is fine. I think we all, I mean, a big portion of the fan base wanted them to go there, you know, if not round one, round two.
And they draft offensive linemen well in the first round. So it's not the worst thing. Yeah.
But we all do know that they're in good hands with, I mean, Will McClay. I mean, dude, this is, we're looking at 3 years in a row of making the playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys. John, since you've been covering the team, have they ever done that? 3 years in a row of making the playoffs?
Oh, no. I don't think
they have.
No, they haven't. This goes back to the 90s Cowboys. Yeah, they haven't done it since they had that run, you know, with Jimmy and Barry back in the early to mid 90s.
They've barely done it since I was born. So yeah. I don't think John covers Cowboys is quite. Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't. Yeah. I was 2 years old the last time they did that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of like, well, let's just keep building on what we're doing here. But I just, it's what's very frustrating that here we are with kind of the same things that kind of irritate us, whether it is griping about penalties, whether it's just like a weird Cowboy feeling of, I just can't get over the hump here with that game. Even the Buffalo game, like the Buffalo game got out of hand quick, and you can just wipe that off the slate as, hey, man, they were way desperate. We sucked that game. You just combine it all together. But you can take one theme out of that game that has hurt you before in the past in the playoffs, getting ran all over. Like, you just have all these themes of really, let's make it the Dak era just to keep it simple. You know, you just jumble them all into one pot, and you're like, why is that still here? Why has this always happened to us? And it feels like we're crash course into this again. All right, San Francisco looked weird against Baltimore, but, you know, Baltimore's a fascinating and very good team. San Francisco looked real weird last night. But, dude, this Cowboy team going into San Francisco – there's not a single one of us who are going to pick the Cowboys to win that game. The 49ers would be 7-point favorites in that game, maybe 6.5, whatever it is. It's just I don't know how you get to the point of this is enough. I don't know what you'd have to do. I tell you, it's not the quarterback. At least I think it's not the quarterback. I guess I would leave a little bit of room for interpretation, although I get really, it's a mind-numbing, the just – this quarterback is the guy or this quarterback's not the guy. It just turns into blah to me. Like, those are white noise arguments. But, man, I don't know what it is to get over that hump. San Francisco doesn't always have a ton of draft picks. They don't have a lot of premier draft position. Like, they build,
I think,
a good
something
team.
I really do think something's going to happen. Something will happen in a playoff game that there will be a moment that whenever it is, if they do get over the hump, that you'll look back and you'll be – man, do you remember when, let's say, Deron Bland gets a pick six in like a huge moment? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's had him in some of these blowouts and stuff like that, but I'm talking in a playoff game or whatever, like a big pick six when things are just not going their way. I'll tell you the one that I keep thinking about. I mean, it almost happened in the Niners game. It's that you finally get that huge return from Kevontae Turpin, like, it just completely flips a game. Or, you know, Micah gets a sack fumble or something like that. When it's going to have to happen, when like things just aren't going their way and all of a sudden it clicks and then it's just like, it just ignites everything. I'll be honest with you, a play where I thought it might happen this year against San Francisco is when Christian McCaffrey kind of trucked Jordan Lewis and Jordan Lewis ripped the ball out of his hands. And the reason why I thought that at the moment is because McCaffrey just does not turn the ball over, and everything was in the Niners' favor at that point. And you just were like, oh, this is steamrolling towards the blowout. And they didn't respond after that like I thought they would. And so that was one time. But I just have this feeling that there will be a moment, something's going to happen in a game where you just feel like same old Cowboys are just going to lose this one. I just feel like there's going to be a play from somebody that you're just like, whoa, I didn't see that, you know, about to happen. And I think that will be a moment when you look at it and you're like, man, that could be the thing that swings all of this whole thing, you know. And maybe it's a play from back. I don't know. But I do feel like when it happens, it'll be one of those plays that people talk about for a long, long time.
I also think that the NFL, the beauty of the NFL is that the any given Sunday moniker is very true. I mean, this is not the NHL or the NBA or MLB where you need to be the best 4 out of 7 or something like that. It's just, you just got to be good that day. Like, you know, you're the 49ers. I've said this before on this podcast, and I always say it, like, the 49ers are a really well-constructed team, but they never get to the NFC title game with a fully healthy roster. And you just have to be better than them on that day. You don't have to be a better constructed team than what they were in October, November. Just got to be better that day. So I think that goes a long way. The kind of unfortunate reality also, KT, to your point earlier about just the running game, we always hear about the NFL is a passing league, and it is. It's a passing league and all that stuff, right? And if you look at the Cowboys defense, it is constructed to stop the pass rushers. You have a secondary, you have all of that. And then here you have in the NFC, the number three rushing team in the entire league are the Detroit Lions. The number four team are the 49ers. The number six team are the Philadelphia Eagles. And the number 10 team are the Rams. So four out of the top 10 teams are NFC playoff opponents, potential opponents this year, right? So that's half of the top 10 are going to be in the NFC playoffs. And so they're built to stop the pass. And then all of a sudden, all these teams are really good running the ball. And the Cowboys aren't very good at run defense. So
watching the league has been kind of wild this year because you see a lot of scenarios. And I'm a big believer, like a lot of people are. Hey, the most efficient way to move the ball around is he throw it. Never see third down. That's great. There's so many opportunities. I see plays, even like on second and longs, where defenses are just like, we've moved, we're going to have both of our safeties back, and we're going to have a weak front, and we're going to give you 5 yards if you want to run it, and then you can get more than that if you block it up really well. And teams are just kind of passing on that, and just kind of, fighting it second and eight. It's like, man, they're giving you that right now if you'll just take it. They're giving you the five, and I know we want to avoid the third and shorts if you can, but, man, that's kind of been a fascinating change over the last couple of years, the NFL, just seeing everyone play their safeties back.
Yeah. And by the way, that's four out of the top 10 in the NFC. If you want to extend that further and you get to the Super Bowl, the number one rushing team in the league this year are the Baltimore Ravens. The number five team are the Miami Dolphins, and the number seven team are the Buffalo Bills, who just ran over all over you anyways. So that's seven out of the top 10 teams that you could have to face if you want to win the Super Bowl.
I will say this, though, about the AFC, though. I honestly don't care. I don't care who's there. You tell me this Dallas Cowboys team finally gets the Super Bowl for the first time since 1995. I don't know how the path is, but, man, they must be playing some really good ball to get there. So it's like I have not once this entire season looked at the AFC, and I'm talking with Mahomes healthy, any of that. I'm just like, so what you said earlier, Sad, about the parity, all that, I'm just like, just get to the Super Bowl. If this Cowboys team gets over the humps that it would have to get to the Super Bowl, they're probably playing pretty badass. For it wouldn't really matter who's out there. They're gonna have a really good chance. I don't care how well that team runs, how much Lamar Jackson's doing, whatever. For this Cowboys team to finally get past San Francisco, they'd have to probably win some road games and stuff like that. I think that they would be playing at a level that all that other stuff would just figure itself out. There is no scenario that you can give me that the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl that I would be like, yeah, they got no chance in this game. Aside from like some major injuries happening in like the NFC championship game in like the final minutes or something like that. But if it's that team that wins the NFC championship game, I would like their chances against anybody.
We've spent 5 minutes talking about the correlations to the past couple of seasons and how it's ended for the Cowboys. When I think maybe the other angle that we probably should, examine is this is their best chance since probably 14 and 16. I mean, the team that we have mentioned since day one that we've just been like, man, I wouldn't love running into them if they're healthy. Their quarterback threw four interceptions last night, got hurt, didn't want to come back in the game because they were down by 21. Their backup did play pretty good, Sam Darnold.
And they're starting left tackle.
The Cowboys in the past, I guess. you look at that and go, well, they're a little vulnerable right now. The other thing, just because it's this time of year, and I think this is a fun thing to do, look, you want to go beat the Lions. Of course you want to go beat the Lions. But let's say the 49ers stumbled to a feisty Commanders team or the red-hot Rams, and the Lions went out. They get the dub against the Cowboys. They get the dub against the Vikings in Week 18. The Detroit Lions are your one seed in the NFC, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you what, if you're the five – and things play out the way they play out, you can't count on that to happen, but if things play out that way, and you're going to Detroit in the divisional game, you feel way better about that game than going into San Francisco. I think.
San Francisco, yes. That would be the only one I would feel better than.
Not Philadelphia?
If it were to get there?
Not in the scenario you just said where the Lions are in your scenario, then the Lions are the only team to hand the Cowboys a loss at AT&T Stadium this year. I would be thinking a lot differently than the Lions. I don't think that this is an easy game for me to pick. Like, I just don't think the Lions are winning this game. And so because of that, I'm just like, in the scenario you just laid out though, I would be like, yeah, no, I would be, if the Lions come into AT&T Stadium and beat the Cowboys, I would be way more concerned about them at Ford Field than I would be the Eagles, the way that they're playing and Patricia's calling the defense than playing them in Philly.
Also, you were already 3 inches away from beating them in Philly this year. So I think you have that confidence too.
And let me also tie this all in together with you saying 14 and 16, because the 14 and 16 Cowboys, yeah, those are great, but those are more like this year's Lions team. This year's Cowboys team is on a different level because it's had consistency the last 2 years of getting to the playoffs. They've had some battle tested where like this Lions team is on the come up. And so it's a great story and everybody loves it. And that was 14 and 16. And if you disagree with me, I'll just lay this out for you right now. You look at that Lions schedule and you just take the Lions away and say, that's the Dallas Cowboys. You're not sitting there talking about, oh, look at these road wins. Their road wins are at Kansas City at the beginning of the year. Kansas City is clearly not the team that they are now. And even that Kansas City team that they beat didn't have Travis Kelce, didn't have Chris Jones. So if you know what you know now, that nobody, if that was the Cowboys that beat that Chiefs team, would be like, yeah, but we had that Chiefs win week one. Nobody would be saying that. You know what's the second biggest one? Is them beating Tampa Bay because they have a winning record. Do you think if the Cowboys had beat Tampa Bay this year, that people would be like, whoa, 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 no big road wins? What about when they beat the Bucks? They have a winning record right now. Nobody would be saying that right now. But the Lions are a great story because they're on the come up and it's this, hey, this is great, man. This team hasn't won a division since 93. So everything's good like that. But if the Lions lose in the first round or second round, do that again next year and lose in the first or second round, by year three of this, Dan Campbell, it'll be looked at the same way as the Cowboys are finally right now, where it's like, okay, they finally have gotten into playoffs, blah, blah, blah. So these two teams are on a different level. And that's why I personally think this Cowboys team, to me, is got a better chance of making a deep run than 14 or 16, just because those teams, yeah, everything was running great and it was all whatever. But like these teams have been battle tested. They've been into playoff games. They've had to play on the road and things like that. Not to mention a lot of those players from 16, like Dak and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith, like you're finally, I mean, that should help you that they've been in these situations as much as they have. Also, CD Lamb's playing on a level that is just like, I mean, who would you even put above him? I mean, Justin Jefferson, maybe Tyreek Hill. I mean, there's not many wide receivers that you would say are better than CD Lamb right now. And then, of course, 14 and 16 didn't have anything that you would even say is close to all Micah Parsons. Not even close.
Not for sure. I mean, that was Jeremy Mincy, your sack leader in 14, I think. I think all that stuff is right. I mean, Mike McCarthy's not, you know, at the end of, well, we haven't won in a couple of weeks, but he's not calling up the old guard and handing out game balls. You know, that's a whole different vibe of what's happening in Detroit. They finally get there and let's get Frank Ragnow a ball. You know, let's get him up. Let's get Taylor Decker up here and give him a ball. He's been here for the rebuild. You know, this is, you know, a system. And this is part of what McCarthy was. I think at least something I think Jerry wanted. I could be wrong on what Jerry wants because that could change with the wind. But I think he did want something more seasoned, playoff experience, has the ring, you know, for however you want to say he got the ring, he got the ring. A system, build, in it every year. I think he's what he wanted all along, you know, to get that chance. I mean, Jerry said in his radio interview today on KRLD-FM, he's, you know, if you're ever in the playoffs and your quarterback's playing good, you've got a pretty good shot. He's right. I don't know how it's going to go for San Francisco in week 17 and 18. Their quarterback was garbage trash and lost the MVP. I don't know if their quarterback's playing well. It has not looked easy for Jalen Hurts in a month, you know? So, playing better than any quarterback in the NFC right now.
And to your point on that, the last team to lose consecutive games in December, where one of the games that they lost was by more than one possession, was the and then went on to win the Super Bowl were the 2012 Baltimore Ravens. And how did Joe Flacco play during that playoff run? So if you get hot at the right time, like you said, if the quarterback is playing well, I think that helps with a lot of things.
I'm also trying to take the ball first, by the way. I wanted to throw that in there, guys.
You want to move?
I like that they took the ball first. I think that against better teams like that, I think they should do that. If they win the toss, 100%. I think they should take it. With the way this team plays, I know that that's not a McCarthy thing. He loves the chance for the double-double of scoring going in the half and coming out, and I get it. The percentages are hugely in your favor to win the game if you're able to do that. But against a lot of these good teams, how often are you really going to score going in and coming out? I'm trying to get out on the – I mean, you look at, okay – season or the biggest loss they had on the road, obviously San Francisco came out right away, punched them in the mouth 7-0, and all of a sudden now you're playing from behind. If you're the Cowboys, you want to, not to say that they would go down the field on the opening drive against the 49ers, but if you did, then all of a sudden you put Brock Purdy in a position where he's a little uncomfortable, and there haven't been a lot of situations where he's been uncomfortable since he's been their starting quarterback. And so you want whatever chance you can to put him in that. And honestly, the Cowboys, I know they didn't score on that opening possession, but I just thought that they just had it built confidence within the team. Like, hey, look, we went down there. We're about to score. We should have. And I just think that for this particular team, I'm not saying every team should do this. I think this particular team should take the ball when they get a chance to start the game.
And especially because it also plays into the defense strengths. Like the defense, like I said, they're better suited to play against the pass. And if you can, the quicker you can get the other team down two possessions, the faster you force them to throw the ball. And it wasn't, John, to your point, not just San Francisco, Buffalo did the same thing as well. So, and that's their two worst road losses.
I agree a lot. It took me till the Buffalo game to change to that. But I agree with that. And I just think there's ways you can control it and eliminate the other team getting a double-double. You just have to, and the game flow and all that stuff is all going to dictate a lot of this stuff. But you can change the way you operate. If you have one more possession than they do in the first half, you can kind of change the way you operate there if you want to stop them from getting time and getting a chance at the double-double.
So in their last three times against San Francisco, San Francisco's had the ball every one of those games to start the game. The 2021 playoff game, last year's playoff game, and this year at San Francisco.
Let's flip the switch. When you guys go through a drive-through, do you get a single or do you get a double-double? I'm a single. I don't like that much meat.
Well, single. That's interesting. Yeah, I probably would go single. Yeah, I don't.
I'm not trying to overeat here.
It depends on, have you ate that day? What time of day is it?
Let's say it's a subtle 7 p.m., 6:30 p.m.
When did you eat lunch? Or when did I eat lunch?
At noon, like
did you have?
I was just going to give you a classic Michael Scott. That's what
I could
she
give
said,
a double on that. I could go double on that. If I didn't eat since noon and it's 7:30, yeah.
Are you one of those guys that can't put on weight? Because man, those people annoy the crap out of me.
Oh yeah, he's definitely that guy.
No,
but also he's a very
can.
Picky eater. He's also a very picky helps. Eater. So
that helps.
I'm sitting here going, man, I had one cookie and I'm feeling it 2 days later. I'm showing it.
Same.
I'm showing
be careful
it.
Over here.
Like I'm showing it like you're pregnant.
The holidays are hell.
Oh, KT, you're showing. Do you have a chocolate chip cookie?
Dude, the holidays are my face turned into the Ryan Reynolds fat suit in the movie Just Friends. What happened to me? Oh, everyone gave up on the year. They just quit.
Just gave up. Oh, you worked hard this year, man. You deserve it, man. Yeah, exactly. You deserve it. You worked hard. It's
yeah, okay.
It's getting cold out, you're not going to have to, you got months to work up back into that beach bod.
That's right. Yeah, the beach bod that I've always had. The thing about beach bod's tough is you got to start working on that in February and March. Otherwise, you'll be ready by the time. Okay. And as my good friend Jeff Cavanaugh likes to say, abs are made in the kitchen. So to 2024, we look, because next time we talk, it will be 2024. I have some New Year's resolutions next week as we break down Cowboys and Lions. Saturday night, the rare NFL balking to college football. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good. I say the NBA has got to be furious going, damn it, it's our day. And the NFL's like, no, it's our day.
March marks the 10-year anniversary of Mark Cuban saying that pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So, I don't know. I'm waiting. wondering when this is going to really cause a problem for the NFL.
I believe I was on the show that that happened.
You might have been. You might have been.
Old Ben and Skin Show.
Yeah, yeah.
2013. Wow.
People don't forget, KT. People don't forget.
People don't forget. Okay. Let's do picks for the Cowboys. Just kidding. Let's do picks for Georgia, Florida State. The
big Let's not even talk about that. There's like
we'll get to
their top 20 players are all not playing. It's going to be such a bloodbath. I don't even want to watch.
You have Texas, Alabama in the finals.
I'm going to Washington. That's a good one.
I'm going to Washington, Alabama.
I think Texas beats Washington. That Alabama Michigan game is going to be. I think whoever wins Michigan, Alabama wins it all. I'll say that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go Cowboys 30, Lions 20.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't lose at home.
Yeah. I don't see them losing at home. Yeah. I don't see them losing. I'll go next. I would say I'll go 31-24 Cowboys. Coming off of those back to back losses. I think you'll see a very, very motivated Cowboys team and one that just plays on a different level at home. They're certainly not going to be sleeping on this Lions team with what they've accomplished this year. And outside of the NFC East teams, this is the team that Dak Prescott plays the best at against these. He hasn't lost 4-0 against the Lions, 9 touchdown passes, no interceptions, thrown for almost 300 yards per game, like a 125 passer rating. I don't see that changing in this game.
So I think for me, it's like it's one. The one thing is that the Cowboys don't always play well in these marquee games. I'm talking Emmitt Smith breaking the rushing record. I'm talking last game at Texas Stadium, first game at AT&T Stadium. All these games, and we all know Jimmy's going in on Saturday. So that does give me a little bit cause for pause. But then on the flip side, I also believe that the Jimmy Johnson curse is about to be lifted. So, and because Austin of that, Power. I think the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East because also no team has won the division back to back in like 18 years or whatever it is. So just going based on all of that, I think the Cowboys have to win. I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win 28-10. So I do think the defense has a big bounce back game and the offense is going to keep rolling. And I really do think the Eagles are going to slip up once in the last two games, and I think the Cowboys will win the division.
Kent, before you pick, if the Cowboys lose in just a horrible fashion, is that Jerry Jones' worst night of his 80 years of living? Is that his worst night? The Cowboys just get smoked, look like ass. I would never want it or predict it, but like some type of injury that makes you go, eh. And Jimmy gets in the Ring of Honor.
I'm really trying to question him, John, after the game, if they lose. Is this your worst night you can remember?
Yeah, John. This is why you make the big bucks.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm trying to think of one that I would think that he would feel is worse. I think there's some nights, I'll put you this way. I think there's some nights that are Jerry Jones worst, or he would say now, but in the moment he might not have thought it. But I think like you look back to, like you said, 14, 16, maybe, you know, last year's playoff loss to the Niners, like just having some good teams come up short in the playoffs when, you know, he had some Romo teams, obviously, yeah. The best record in the league and lose to the Giants.
44-3.
Yeah. I think those, like maybe in the moment he didn't feel that way, but it's also just like him saying in the moment that that was one of his, I think he said was his, one of his best, if it's not his best moments.
The Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Beating a not good Washington team, Dolly Parton doing a halftime show. And he's all pumped and talking about it. So this is up there with the Super Bowls. I don't think he really meant that. So I don't know if it would be in the moment, but it has the potential like for him looking best.
Yeah. Okay. That's all. I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to, put anyone on the spot there or anything. Just, you know, it's a okay. Kent, go ahead.
By the way, real quick, this last like trio brunch that the Cowboys have, the Cowboys, Lions, and then they play the Commanders, the three teams that have not reached an NFC title game since the whatever
96. Well, Washington and Detroit haven't since 91. That's when they played each other. That's the last time that they've gone. And then the Cowboys are next. And then theirs would have been, I mean, it's the 95 season, but yeah.
Yeah. So like, but this century, these three teams are the last three to not reach an NFC title game.
Two things. One, it would be really funny if he put him in the Ring of Honor, but it was just in like 2-point font. You could just barely see it. You're like, oh, he's up there. Or
you like that
once
more.
They put him up there. You know, the lights flicker at AT&T Stadium. They have like little holographic ghosts just fly out of the stadium as if the curse was really lifted from the Cowboys.
So wait.
If flies I gave from you the banners out of the stadium, you know?
If I gave you the option, which is worse for Jimmy, for it to be in 2-point font or right after they drop the banner to put him in, Jerry puts himself in?
That can't happen.
Well, you can't
say ever happened. Has an owner ever put himself in?
Of every owner that you could possibly think of, which one would you even compare to him? Al Davis?
Jerry Richardson.
I wouldn't even think Jerry Richardson's on his level.
He had that statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, Al Davis is the one that gets the comparisons up.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the next one.
Well, you obviously don't think it's going to be in 2-point font either.
But I said it would be a great bit funny to talk if they about. Pulled down the curtain and it was up there, but it was just real tiny.
I also think it would be funny if, like, you know how like there's a Tom Landry hat, like it's like a little piece of like it looks like Jimmy's hair, like the Lego hair, but it just like his hair nice. next to it. Yeah. That would be, I think that would be a nice touch.
Jimmy should just eat this up though. He should come out. Entrance, like get the Rock to like come out with you or something. Just like make this your moment. Grab the mic and be like, "Oh, about them, get out!" You know, just make these fans go nuts.
Oh, that's going to be a great moment, though. That's going to be AT&T Stadium is going to be rocking when he says, "How about them Cowboys at halftime?"
That's going to be great. And it's at halftime. It's not before the game, so we're going
to. It's at halftime. They are going to do a pre-game press conference, much more in it earlier than that Carolina one that they did as the game was kicking off.
So rushed. It's 11
who's
minutes
who of
quick.
90s Cowboys stars will be showing
up. Oh, Troy.
Yeah.
You know, Can Troy,
yeah.
And
Troy.
Troy's calling it, yeah.
Troy's calling the game, yeah.
Of the world.
Yeah.
I am very much like, as someone that was a little kid, not a fan of the Cowboys, I was growing up in Detroit, I'm really looking forward to just because of just like those 90s Cowboys, like obviously I see them around now being down here, but like, that group and all that stuff like that together, like that stuff, that's like, that's almost like 90s Bulls to me. It's like larger than life, you know?
Yeah, no, it really is. Okay, well, guys, here we go. Have a good time at the game, covering that for us and covering all week for us, Cowboys Lions. We'll get back at you in 2024. Weird. We'll talk really what we're looking at
next
as we
year.
Get into week 18. As you look ahead at that game, that barn burner, the home game against Washington. No more road games until the playoffs, guys. That's good news. No more road games for a while. Stay off the road.
They're going to Washington.
Oh, they're going to Washington. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see my at there. Right, yes, there we go.
If you knew how unfun that trip is, as Kent is aware of, you would never forget it. It's like it's just on that schedule that you're just like, oh, yeah. Got to go to that.
The weather's going to be terrible.
Oh, this one you want to knock out early.
Yeah, it's just not a great stadium experience. It's clearly the worst stadium in the league, and I don't know. I'm hoping Magic Johnson turns it all around.
Yeah. I'm sure he will. Magic.
The stadium, I mean, not the team.
The
obviously.
Stadium, not the franchise. Yeah. Of course. The curse of Daniel Snyder will live forever. All right, guys. We'll happy holidays. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. Thank you all for tuning in each week and just kind of chatting with us. We love you. And we'll be back next week. Keep this thing going. Let's go get a Lombardi trophy, guys. One step at a time. It all starts with the Lions in week 17. For Kent, for John, for Saad, I'm Kevin. We'll see you next week on About Them Cowboys.